Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Today is Sunday. It is Mother's Day. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Mother's Day. We did at church, and hope you guys are too. Those that still have their mothers, I hope you call them and wish them a happy Mother's Day, or were able to go out and hang out with them and just love on them, as we should all year long. Mothers are very special. My mom lives a little ways off, so I was able to call her, but we'll eventually get together and do stuff. But I always thank my mama just on Mother's Day for the birth that, you know, childbirth. That's all I gotta say. That's intense. And the pain she went through for me to have me, and I thank her for that, and you know, I love her to death, and I hope you guys are loving your moms, and those that are, you know, mothers have gone on, we lift you up, and, you know, as you remember your mother, and hopefully a lot of good memories of her, if she's gone now. We are continuing our, I guess it's, you know, a preaching, I guess preaching slash teaching series, I guess, to a degree. We're looking at Psalms 8. This is part 3. We did part 1 a few weeks ago, and then part 2 last week, and we're concluding part 3 today. And of course, this is this week's sermon, so you may be listening to it sometime during the week, and so it'll be past Mother's Day and into the work week, and I hope you're gonna have a good work week, and then remember that stay strong, press on, keep enduring to the end. Times will get rough, but God is still in control, and He's still on the throne. But we're gonna hopefully conclude this psalm today, and then the goal is I have a man's conference Saturday, so all I'm doing is going to try to have at least a sermon posted sometime before Saturday, and our Bible study that we do on Hebrews, going to try to have that posted on Saturday too. Hopefully going through Hebrews, you know, sections of Hebrews is helping you out, and you know, these sermons are a blessing to you and strengthening you, and strengthening you in Christ. And of course, as always, if you have any questions, you can contact me through my website and or Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. Those are the ways you can get a hold of me. Some of you guys have my phone number. Y'all know y'all can text me. Y'all do. And anytime y'all have any questions, I do my best to answer those as much as I can. I don't claim to know it all. I never will. But the Holy Spirit is, He guides us and He directs us, and we kind of learn together. So Psalms 8. This is part 3. The overall theme, the take-home message of this whole psalm, in a snapshot, what the Holy Spirit is shooting out there to you guys, is this. Now, you gotta realize, the Holy Spirit can move a preacher to preach several messages from these psalms, but this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to convey to whoever's listening out there, and this is the take-home message. This is the snapshot of this psalm. That is this: praise and worship is one key to our Christian life. This praise and worship needs to be part of our prayer life. And when we do this, this will equip us to walk in this journey called life. That is the overall theme. That is the take-home message. If you remember, if you don't remember anything else out of this sermon, that is what you should have jot down. And then when you read back through this psalm on your free time, maybe you mark the sermon, and then you go back a year later, you need to have that note written down there. or somewhere where you can get a snapshot of what this song can be about. Now, let's read the whole psalm. That is Psalm 8, 1 through 9. It starts out like this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thy ordained strength because of thy enemies. Thou hast mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makes him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, the oxen, the sheep and the oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you with this last message on Psalms 8, Lord, I pray that you just guide your humble servant in expounding on the scriptures to those out there listening, that is clear on the meaning, and that it resonates with their heart, that bursts from their seam the work of the Holy Spirit that you want them to do within their life. To those around us, to reach out to those who are in need, those who are hurting, to extend our time to them, an ear to hear what they're going through. Lord, you gave us two ears and two eyes and one mouth for a reason. We should listen more, watch more, and speak less, and let the Holy Spirit guide us as we speak to those that are hurting, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the strength to provide the words to those that are hurting. Not our wisdom, but the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to reach down where they're at and to lift them up, to tell them about Jesus if they don't know about Jesus. Tell them that there's a better way, and that there's a better way that can lead to everlasting life, and that this is real, and this ain't fake, and this is not a fairy tale, and this is where the rubber meets the road, as we say in the country. This is important. Maybe we have a testimony in our life where the Lord has pulled us out of our deep hole, that we can testify of his mightiness to those that are facing similar depths of despair. God, I pray that you just, over all those that are celebrating Mother's Day today, Lord, we pray that there are days for good. Lord, we pray for those that have lost their mother. Comfort them as they reflect on this. Lord, we pray over those that are struggling with addiction, with depression, with anxiety, Lord. The financial burdens of this life, the challenges of the ups and downs of this life that can knock our air out and leave us breathless. Knowing through all of this one true truth is the comfort that we can have in you, Christ. As we abide in you, we find this hope and this peace that this world cannot understand. Our eyes are firmly planted on you. As everything is caving around us, we know that you got this, and we press on. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 5. Let's read that. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. He has crowned him with a glory and honor. Let me bring your attention to that phrase. A little lower than the angels. It's worth noting that this quote is also in Hebrews. Hebrews 2:7. And it says this, thou makest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crown him with a glory and honor. You know, I cannot help but think of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who left his glory to feel the sting of this life. I know I could have not done that, to taste the bitterness of this life. See, Jesus Christ, he faced the bitterness of this life. He took on that cross that you and I deserve. And trust me, we deserve that cross. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, the blameless Lamb of God. He was not guilty of any sin. Do not let nobody tell you otherwise. Jesus Christ did not sin. There was no guilt found in him. And if you really want to find guilt, you can say, hey, he was guilty for loving us too much. He loves the humanity beyond what we can imagine. He loves you and me and us. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you go to 17, it's for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world through him might be saved. He wants everybody to come to him and be saved and to have that everlasting life. John 15:13 says, greater love had no man than this, that man laid down his life for his friends. On that cross, as being scourged and beaten, ridiculed with the crowns and being punched, the crowns put on his head of thorns and that robe. And then after that, we made him carry that cross, that death beam up that hill of Calvary where the nails were drove into his hands and feet. Oh, our Savior, how he suffered so. On that cross, being after scourged, beaten, ridiculed, he looked down and he says this in Luke 23:34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know about you, I couldn't have done that. Most of us get cross if somebody cuts us off in traffic. I'm speaking to myself, I'm not perfect. But I serve a perfect God, and God is perfect. And God is Jesus, right? Yeah, I don't get this. It can get confusing. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who knew no sin, but he felt the sting of death for our sin. And that blood had to be shed. And I want to emphasize, let's get this. Jesus Christ had no sin. And don't let nobody tell you otherwise. I do not care how many degrees they have. I don't care how smart they think they are. I don't care if they have a mega church. I don't care how charismatic and how their words just come out and they make you feel all happy. If they say Jesus Christ sinned, they are going against Scripture. They are part of the Antichrist. And there is no truth in them. Back away from them. Correct them if you can. If they don't heed the correction, back away from them, stop listening to them, warn other people about them. That is correct to do that, and that's all biblical. Jesus Christ was that blameless lamb, as John the Baptist spoke in 1 John, blameless lamb, and he was pointing to that lamb, that sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament that they would have to slaughter for the sin every year. But Jesus Christ was that blameless lamb, that one sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the world. And because of that atonement, and of course you can find that in many scriptures, but you can go over to Romans 5, And you can read from 11 down. It speaks of atonement, about sin, about Adam, and how sin came into this world. But you see how that cross where his blood ran red, that true atonement was met. No animal sacrifice could do. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament were just band-aids. They were not true atonements. The Lord Jesus Christ was that true atonement. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Meaning there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, in Jesus Christ is that perfect lamb that was slaughtered on the cross. I don't know about you. When I hear this, it breaks my heart. I pray that it breaks yours. We should never get bored hearing this message of the cross. Because at the cross is where the grace and mercy found me. Broken and shamed, driven to my knees with my heart open while crying out loud, "Oh my God, who am I? I'm nothing. I'm a mere worm. Oh, forgive me. Oh, how I've wasted so much time for my own endeavors. Oh, how I seek to my fame and my fortune. It's nothing without you, Lord. I don't want nothing if you're not part of it." I want you all around me, Lord. Oh, fill me, Holy Spirit, pour out on me to reach those who are in need. You are great, I am not. You are God, and I am just your humble servant. Guide me, direct me, work through me. Oh, I surrender my life. How we should do that. Oh, how I walk. I want to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. Oh, how I seek to crucify this flesh daily. I die daily. I hope you die daily too. I do not want to sin against you, Lord. Direct my steps. Oh, I may not sin against you. Oh, do you really seek God this way? Are you just faking it daily? Only to tell you, God sees you where you're at. He knows what you do. And I do. I want to tell you, He cares and He sees. I don't care how well you can fake it to a man, to me, to any other. You're not fooling God. We should seek Him daily. We should surrender daily to a holy and righteous God. And I pray that you do. Of course, we know He was removed from the cross and He was placed in that tomb. And we know on that third day He rose from the grave. And we as children know one day soon we will be where our blessed Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Just listen to this verse again. Let it resonate with your heart. For Thou hast made Him a little lower than the angels, has crowned Him with a glory and honor. We're somewhere in between, right? Bob, just, and we can look at that in our sense, that we're somewhere in between. Verse 6 through 8. Let's read those. "Thou makes Him to have dominion over the works of Thy hand, that has put all things under His feet." Of course you can see this in Hebrews 2:8, this passage 6. The writer of Hebrew was pointing to this psalm in this specific passage in Psalm 8:6. You can compare that to Hebrews 2:8. In verse 7 of Psalm 8 says, "All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever pass through the paths of the seas." God has given us dominion over his creation is honor. David was no stranger to this. He was not a stranger to Genesis. Just listen, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, or the fowls of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. And you can also look at Genesis 9:2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon the move, and upon all that move upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. In your hand are they delivered. These two passages, right? Genesis 1, 26 through 28, Genesis 9, 2. This mirror these passages in Psalm 8, 6 through 8. We can, by looking at this, we can safely conclude that David had an understanding of the historical creation account. And I say historical because people will want to say that is not real. We need to understand it's not just a fake story. It is historically accurate and reliable as any other account that you read about. It is fact. We need to be direct about this, because when we start saying story, people start getting their mind thinking it's fictional. No, it is correct. A historical account is as reliable as reading a history book that tells us about our first president. It is more as accurate as us reading about the Civil War, World War I, World War II. It is historically accurate. This is a historical account. And in these passages, a beautiful thing, we should be taking care of God's creation. How it be is cursed with sin and the fall of man, right? That is humanity. Adam and Eve, they failed in the Garden of Eden. They did not listen, obey to what God told them. You can read about that course in the mid part of Genesis 2 and up to 3. He told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. If they do, they will surely die. And they were tempted by the serpent. And they took of this tree, of the fruit of that tree. And when they did, sin came into this world. When sin came into the world, sin's like a cancer. It eats away. It's been eating ever since Adam and Eve. And we see the fullness of it today. We need to keep in mind God is good and we are not. And God always will give us options to choose. Choose good, choose evil. We need to keep that in mind. God is good. Regardless, this world is corrupt because of sin and is evil. And what we see those in our world, they're thriving towards sin. This is just a product of the cursed world that we have to live in until our time is called up. Physical death, or until Jesus comes back and splits that eastern sky, right? He splits down, he comes back for us. Just to give an example of this, Genesis 1, 27. So God tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. See, God only created two sexes, male and female. I know this will blow. I know this is challenging to majority of Americans that believe there's 20, 30, or 50 different types of sex out there, but there's only two. I know is I'm trying to making this. I guess we're trying to make this complicated. No, not really. I'm being sarcastic. The perversion of this world is sickening. But when we look at this world, and we've got to keep in mind sin, this is Satan world, right? Matthew 4, you can go back and look at that account. is God created it, is corrupted by sin. And the world tells us that there's more than two sexes. That's just the reality of it. And if you are following any form of outlet, you will be very aware of what they're pushing. They will tell you that there's multiple sexes. They will tell you it's okay if you want to be a transy. Now, the LQBT, right? Lesbian, bisexual, queer. I think they removed the queer, but in transgender. They'll tell you if you feel like a male and you're a male and you feel like a female, then you're actually a female. And of course, the vice versa is there. And I'm not trying to be unloving, because I know this world's blind by Satan's lie. And God only made two sexes, male and female. He made them, right? And for anyone that says otherwise, they are being immorals. Maybe I'll say that right. They're going against God's design. Immorality. There it is. They're not following scripture because they are not following light. They are in the darkness. And it's for us that are children of the light, that are truly walking with God, to shine our light in that darkness. And this can be viewed as unloving. Let's just get that reality. When you're going against the narrative on this, people will view you as unloving. Although we are not being unloving, we are trying to warn. There's a difference in not... There's a difference in being unloving and loving. If somebody stepped out in the middle of a highway and there's a semi coming and they don't see it, will we scream for them to move? Or we would just let the truck plow them over? That truck is sin. You could say the driver of that truck is Satan, full blown, headed straight to them to run them over and send them to the pit of hell. And we are on the sideline. We look at them and we see that sin, we see their destination. And if we choose not to yell, say, "Get out of the highway, you're about to die." Is it unloving? And if they look at you and say, "Why are you yelling at me? That is unloving." And then the truck plows them. And their soul goes to this place of everlasting torment. And as time goes on, this world moves farther away from the truth. We need to prepare ourselves. Realize that we will be seen as unloving. And we will be called unloving. It's just a reality when we know we're not trying to be unloving. And you got to understand that will happen. You will be called unloving. You will be called every name that you can think of that's in the book. I have already been called names already. And because we're warning. Because we don't conform to their sin. Therefore, they get angry. And that is the Satan, the demons that have control over their life, pulling on them, making them react in that way. And we are living in that a time where it's just going to get crazy and crazy and crazier. Matthew 24:37-39 said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days they were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." We are fastly approaching this time, guys. Some can argue that we're in it. I can see a lot of validity in that approach. But regardless, we're fastly in there. Just look at the abortion issue. I was looking at numbers the other day, and I pulled on a specific study, said only 4% of preachers today in America, 4% preach against abortion. This is sad. Well, you may have possibly heard there's a chance to overturn Roe versus Wade. That will provide more protection for innocent babies' life. And guess what? People in our nation in high political leading positions like Joe Biden, and of course, we know he's our president. And somebody, oh, he ain't my president. Well, regardless, he is the president of the United States. And if you're in the United States, he is your president. Regardless if you don't like it or not, he is my president too. Although I do not agree with what he does, and we should pray for him. But the president, his administration, they're not happy with this. Just to show you where our leaders at and their mindset in our nation is, how they only value certain life when it benefits them. And all life matters to Jesus Christ. I stand pro-life until the very end, until there's no more breath in my body. I stand on life, all life. But where is that boldness in the pulpit? It's lacking. It's been lacking for decades now. And because of this lackness and not the spineless preaching in the pulpit, because they want to be more popular than biblical. They're afraid they might get run out of town or they might lose their congregation. So what it be? You lose your congregation, the church has to shut down. Let it be. It does not need to be open if it cannot heed to sound doctrine. Murder is murder, regardless how you look at it. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of Son of Man will be. You know, a child of God, we need that boldness to stand on the Word of God, of course. Doing in a loving and humble spirit, but boldness nevertheless. We need to know that God expects us to speak out against homosexuality. He's posted us to speak against all sexual immorality, such as fornication, adultery, pornography, whatever it may be. Oh, we should be preaching holiness and righteousness on top of that. We should be also advocates and caring for our environment. That's including the animals that live in that environment. He has given us dominion over the animals. And I hope you get that the privilege and the honor that God has instilled in us to do that. And when we do that, that should be a humbling experience that drives our direction, our heart, to a platform of praise and worship and thanking God for who He is and what He has provided us to do. It should bring us to our knees with tears in our eyes and praying in deep, deep prayer to a holy and righteous God. Last verse. We are almost done with Psalm 8. This is the third one out of this, so I didn't think it was going to be three parts to this, but this is the last verse. So, but man, God's Word is so awesome. I love reading God's Word, and I love memorizing the Word and just applying that to my life. I pray that you're that way too. And that's the application part of it. If we hear these sermons, there got to be application to our life. These are mere words, but if they do not come alive in if they don't breathe in our life and affect our being to act different from this world, then the words are meaningless. They have to stir action. And David ends this psalm with how, and verse 9 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all earth. This is the same verse he used in the opening, right? And of course, we looked at more details on this in part one, so I encourage you to go back and read that. But David is closing this out with the humbleness, the awe appreciation of God, who is so great at time can leave him scratching his head. God is vast beyond our mind, but we try to figure it out, and sometimes we get a little glimpse of his greatness and it rattles us. But you know, I just think of a child who is kind of excited and they're curiousing what their parents are doing, and maybe it's something like their birthday or Christmas, and they know there's something waiting for them, and they're trying to peek around the corner, and the parents like, get back in there, and you're like, and that child's like, oh, I want to see something. I know you're doing something in there. I know it's going to affect me. Oh, I just want a glimpse of it. And the parents like, no, get back in there. Maybe sit in a little bed, and they're up all night just thinking about it, imagining what it'll be. Oh, how can we just imagine what God has for us? And you know, that's the amazing part of that. When this life is over, if today was our last day, and we are a child of God, and God has calls us home, and what's waiting for us is beyond what we can imagine. But even through the good, bad, and ugly, as we walk through this life, this journey, and we will experience things that will rattle us. I know I'm not beyond that. I will still start to experience things that will rattle me, as we all would. But you know, I cling to Scripture. Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And we need to understand that when we can't make sense of things in our life, in this journey of life, we need to know that we may not understand every detail of that situation that we're going through, and God may not reveal what's going on in our life, because there's things that have happened in my life. I'm still trying to figure it out. But at the end of the day, I just give it to God and says, here it is, God, you got this. You're going to work through it one way or the other. I glorify you. You are God. I am not. I am a mere ant to your greatness. Oh Lord, just give me strength to keep enduring to what you have. Oh, I want to look more like you and less like me. Oh God, let my eyes see the way you see. Let my ears hear the way you see. Oh, my heart, let it seek the direction that you have for me. And let my hands and my feet follow. I can engage in the ministry to those around us. And I pray that you are the same way. And we do this with the humbleness of spirit, and with that praise and worship in our hearts. And we cry out, holy, holy is your name, God. And we let that praise and we let that worship shape our life through our prayer, and through that prayer to our Bible reading, and our Bible reading to the application, to reaching out there to those who need to hear the gospel to a dark, dying world. I pray that you have that fire burning in your soul. In closing, three parts. If you are just listening to this part, all you have to do is scroll down. You'll see part one, part two. They're each an hour long. This is probably going to be almost an hour, so it's about 3 hours there. Listen to it in entirety. It's very important. Not because anything special in what Jonathan Ritter has is what the Holy Spirit pours in my heart to speak. The point and purpose of this three-part series in Psalm 8 is simply to, and I spoke of this take-home message, that praise and worship is a key to our Christian life. It's just one key to our Christian life. This praise and worship needs to be part of our prayer life, and this will equip us to walk this journey called life. See, David was no stranger to the journey of life. He went from a shepherd watching his family's sheep, which was dangerous, because sheep could not defend themselves, and there were predators out there. So David had to guard them from threats. Also, he had to find food and water for them. And he went from this shepherd to this giant slayer, David and Goliath. In this period where he's running from Saul. And then he becomes the king of Israel. I encourage you guys to read this historical account of David. It's amazing. Study it. He had his challenges in his life. God shaped him, guide him, as he does each and every one of his children. He had enemies, physical enemies, of course influenced by spiritual enemies, which is Satan and demons, right? They wanted to harm him as they want to harm us. We are in spiritual warfare. Do not think we are not. We will face one level of this against the spiritual battles throughout our life. There is light, right? God and his angels. There is darkness, Satan and his demons. And we're right in the middle. And it's very sad that in many churches that spiritual warfare, if you ask somebody about spiritual warfare and how they would define it and how they could apply the principles to their life, I couldn't even tell you. And Satan loves that. It's like me giving a child a gun with no training and kick him over in a battlefield. Maybe just think about World War One. If you go back World War One, how devastating it was. You take a kid and no training, you give them a gun, throw them in the midst of the bombing and the gunfire. What do you think is going to happen to them? They're going to die. Same thing with spiritual warfare. You take a new Christian baby and you don't teach them spiritual warfare. You don't disciple them in spiritual warfare and you throw them out to that world unarmed, without putting the full armor of God on, and then Satan will have his way with him. We have to learn, and we have to teach, how to wage a good warfare. And when we don't, Satan and demons, they love this. And when we engage in spiritual warfare, and I just spoke on abortion, right? Yes, hop. Topic today with Roe versus Wade and about possibly overturning that decision that should never have been on the books because it was unconstitutional from its conception. If you just read the history of it, and I encourage you to read the history of that whole case, there was so much deception, so much unconstitutional stuff going on in that, it should have never got approved. But that's just how the government is. They want to bypass points of the Constitution to make their agenda work. But I want to tell you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, and those that are listening, abortion is murder. God is not okay with abortion. But this is just one point of many points where we point at spiritual warfare. Satan loves the killing of children. Abortion is idolatry. And if you look at the Old Testament, they did child sacrifice. And I consider abortion child sacrifice. Why? Because you're killing them because of the convenience of life. And some people, well, what about the... They use these 1% scenarios. What if the woman's life is in jeopardy? What if it was innocent? They use small cases to try to approve and make it okay. And I stand on what it stands. In any cases, abortion is not okay, because when you start trying to make exception, then they can wiggle their filthy little hands in making abortion appropriate to all cases. All life matters. Abortion is not okay with nothing. Abortion is murder. Regardless of the situation, it's still murder. Period. And this is a sign. This is a sign of our time. This is spiritual warfare. This is the light, God, saying murder is murder, and this is darkness, evil. Satan say, well, what about this? What about that? He works in these small increments to make things work. And then you have the pulpits in America, and they're scared to death. They do not want to speak on abortion. A fear of being political. I'm telling you, it's not a political issue. It's a God issue. Murder is murder. Abortion is murder. And then, oh, you're being political. I'm going to go down the road and find me a different... Go ahead. Go down the road and find you another church. You reprobate. God will deal with you. And you will not like it when it happens. We are supposed to stand on truth. Right? And when that time comes, Matthew 7:21, right? 22 tells us, he tells them, depart from me, him, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. These are not my words. These are Jesus. If you're okay with abortion, you're trying to prove abortion, you will fit those on care for your preacher that think you know God's word. You don't know nothing about God's word. You are a reprobate, and God will judge you as you stand. You may not like this. You may key this off. If you're a Christian, professing Christian, you're okay with abortion, God will handle you. Matthew 7:21-22 gives you that. He will tell, depart me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care if you can sing a beautiful song in church. I don't care if you can provide a beautiful sermon. I don't care if you can give a beautiful Bible study. I don't care how much you contribute to the church. If you're sitting on that point, God, you will be handed to Satan one day. Abortion is murder. As the day of Noah, the days of Noe, days of Noah was a man who preached righteousness to the world. And I'll tell you, most people will put Noah in that time that there was 1 million people on the earth. And they would not listen. He preached righteousness to them. Let's be honest, how many preachers they are preaching righteousness? They are preachers that will be popular, a message that can be that will make you feel good. And then you got one Noah walking up preaching righteous. Oh, don't listen to that man. He don't know what he's talking. Oh, yes. Don't worry about the scripture. Oh, he's providing scriptures. Oh, you can't provide scripture. But you're telling other people. You're using your opinion. You're defacing true men of God. And trust me, you will be held accountable one day when you touch God's anointing. God will strip you down. And Noah preached righteousness, and people would not listen. And guess what? Only 8 got in the ark. Only 8 was saved. I want to tell you, as the days of Noah, that should be a chilling thing. I want to tell you, many are not going to accept the truth. They will follow these so-called men of God straight to the pit of hell, while they will not listen to those centering on the gospel and telling them the truth. To live away from their sin. They want somebody to tell them, live in their sin, it's okay. They want somebody to tell them to go out and party with their friends. That's okay. God loves you. They will tell you, keep cussing, oh, have a good old time. Post profanity on Facebook. Keep on doing it. They'll tell you, hey, go ahead, keep having sex with whoever you want. Keep looking at that filth on TV. Oh, keep looking at that porn. That's okay. God loves you. This message sells, I'll tell you. And this is a message that the Antichrist will cling on. And I want to tell you, the coming of Jesus Christ to this world, when he comes, many will perish, but they choose to listen to a lie than heed the truth of the gospel. But those who listen, and I'm talking to those that are listening, we're pressing on. God got this. We keep preaching the truth regardless how many will not listen to us. We are called to do that. It comes down to Him, Jesus Christ, and Him using us. They will call us unloving. They will call us every name in the book. But we press on. We keep preaching the gospel. We keep shedding that light to a world that is in denial. And one way that gives us strength to press on is that praise and that worship in our heart daily. And when we worship, when we praise the Lord, we humble ourselves to a holy and righteous God through our prayer life. And we know where we're at in Christ. We do not care making a name for ourselves. And we pray for that humble direction of the Holy Spirit in our life and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And we should have that boldness to speak the truth to this world and to those and to go against those who are watering down the truth and calling them out. And this will get difficult as time draws nearer and nearer as the coming of Jesus Christ. But what do? We focus our eyes on Jesus Christ and we praise Him through this life. Wherever this life may look like for us now or in the future. We let God control us. We let God direct us. We, here is my life, it is not mine. Do what thou will with it, whatever it may look like. And we do this by humbling our spirit. And one way to humble our spirit is through the praise and worship. In our prayer life. And David set this model in many of his songs, is this worship and praise in his heart. Even though he did not get it right every time, and he got corrected, he kept pressing on. He thanked God for the correction. He thanked God for who God is in his life. And he was a strong worshiper and praiser for Jesus, as we should be. And I hope you will be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this sermon out, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to give me the strength to preach the way you need me to preach to whoever. If it's only one person listening, it does not even matter on who listens, it's or the how many. As long as one listens and heeds the word and truly cling to scripture and apply that to their life, that one person matters more than 1,000 to 10,000. One person that focuses their life on Jesus, that focuses their heart on the gospel, that has that praise and worship about them throughout their struggles in this life. Knowing they may not understand everything they're going through, and they know that you are God and they are not, and they will trust you and they will keep pressing on. They will keep praising you in this journey we call life, and they will keep praying, and they will keep seeking your, and they will relentlessly pursue you to the very end. Those that will endure to the end. This is a endurance. This is a marathon. Not a sprint. You craft us, you shape us in what we need to be through whatever we may be experienced today. Understand, if we do not suffer things in our life, we will not grow into the individuals that you need us to be to reach whoever that is around us with the message that you have placed in our ministry. God, as we close this out, Lord, I pray that you just be with us throughout this week. You open the doors as you need to tell people about Jesus wherever it may be. You open opportunities every day. You guide and you direct our steps as you need, wherever that may be like. Lord, we pray that you our priority in our life, that everything else is secondary. You are the center of our life. Our eyes should be firmly planted on you. Oh, we should strive to walk in the spirit and less in the flesh. Oh, how we want more of you and less of ourselves. Oh, how we should surrender daily to you. Oh, we should die daily. Oh, we should crucify this flesh daily. We should not be okay with the ways of the world. We are called to be different. Light bearers, soldiers in this army against darkness. We pray and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who had to pay that awful price for us so we can come where we're at today . If we have sin in our life, we can ask for forgiveness. If we do not know you, Lord, we can come right where we're at now. We can recognize who you are. We can recognize your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for the sins of this world, the blood that had to fall, the atonement, oh, how he had to suffer greatly. And all we can recognize how he was dead and he was placed in that tomb. That third day he rose and he was seen by many before he ascended to heaven. He said, I'm coming back. But he left us the comfort of the Holy Spirit that will come into our life, that will change our very being, that will create in us a new work in us. The old self is crucified. The new will walk. Oh, how we could crave that newness, that born again experience. Oh, how we should know that our life should be different. Oh, how should we strive to walk more like Jesus and less like ourselves. Oh, how we have counted the cost and realized nothing matters except Jesus Christ in our life and Him only. To recognize that. No, if we lost everything today for Christ, it would be worth it. If we lost our homes, our cars, whatever we value for Christ, it is worth it. We are beaten and as the apostles were, and you read about in Acts, we praise His holy name while they're in jail. They were beat with many stripes, bleeding in chains. They still praise and worship your holy name. Oh, how we should strive to be that way. If everything's taken away, if we're beaten with stripes, bleeding to death in chains, in a cell with rats crawling on our bodies, oh, how we should praise your holy name. Oh, how we need that mindset. Do we have that mindset? Do we thrive to be more comfortable than uncomfortable? Do we strive to say, make us more like you, Jesus? Or are we like, oh no, I don't want all that? You tell us in your word, they are not your disciples, and because they are not your disciples, they are not Christians. And they are not saved or born again. We have to count the cost to be yours. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night, a good week. Once again, you can contact me through Facebook, through this website, Twitter, Instagram. And if you have my private phone number, you can call or text me. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Until next week. Love you guys.